Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tonight, on the live season finale of The Bachelorette, you won't believe what's going to happen when Andy's journey to find love comes to an emotional end.
I've thought about this day, and now it's right here.
Will she choose Josh?
I want this future so bad. I love Andy more than anything.
Or Nick.
I love Andy. She makes me feel alive.
Nick is great. Josh is great. But in the end, this could all blow up in my face.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 39 for the week of August 4th, 2014. I am grumpy mammal participating against his will, David T. Cole, and I'm here with Right Reason, Sarah D. Bunting.
And it is not making friends.
Onset cosmetic dentist, Tara Ariano.
We could go 17 shades whiter.
And unlicensed paramedic, Stephanie Green.
Clear.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm back for now.
Yay!
Since the Time Warner Cable, and I'm so excited that I get to introduce Stephanie Green, our Bachelor Maven on the site.
Woohoo!
Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Welcome. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about The Bachelor today. I'm sorry. Dudes, take a break. So, would you say that this actually is the most exciting, I guess not even ending, but like aftermath of seasons that you've watched?
Of seasons that I've watched? No, actually, because this after the final rose was pretty good. The confrontation between Nick and Andy was pretty fascinating. But
you should describe what happened before for those who may not have watched it.
Yes. So, okay, so let me backtrack. Andy narrowed her field of suitors down to two.
Yep.
We had the mealy-mouthed, whiny baby man. That was Nick. And then there was the self-satisfied former professional baseball player and current former professional baseball player, Josh. And she went with Josh. And Nick was sad. And then they went on the After the Final Rose. And Nick basically called her out onto the carpet and told her that he thought it was bullshit that she had slept with him and she wasn't in love with him. And he kind of implied that not only did they sleep together, but they like slept together, kind of.
What was his phrasing again?
Fiance type stuff.
Oh.
What?
Which
that they did is... they had done fiance type stuff.
I thought he said Beyonce.
Oh, he wishes. No.
That would be even better.
Surfort. No, just regular
non-Beyonce shenanigans.
I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to think that means. Like, if he thinks it's such a big deal that she went down
stuff
on him or something.
Butt stuff.
Yeah, butt stuff, that's the only thing I can
think. Mr. Parmook style.
Yes. I'm thinking butt stuff. Yeah, I mean, what else? What else could it be?
Gives the phrase putting a ring on it.
And Andy seemed,
I'm the worst.
Yeah, Andy seemed really, really pissed, which I don't blame her. I mean, she said it was below the belt, literally. And so that was exciting because normally on After the Final Rose, it sort of follows a pattern where they have a kind of closure talk and everyone leaves feeling okay and everyone's polite. But this was sort of different in that Nick was mopey and seemed out for kind of to humiliate or embarrass her, and it didn't really work, but it was interesting to watch. But it wasn't the most exciting After the Final Rose that I've watched.
Before you get to that, I just have a question, because yep, I have not watched a finale of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette in a while before this one. Don't they usually go through a whole production where they give them a note about the fantasy suite? Because that was completely absent from this, and I assumed it was because Andy was like, look, I'm not going to make it clear whether I slept with either of them. And then Nick was like, well, I'm going to make it explicit that yes, we did.
Well, wait, you mean on the show, did they give them a fantasy suite note?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened this season.
But not in this episode.
Well, no, not the fantasy suites are actually happened the before.
Oh,
and then,
okay.
So she sleeps with them, presumably.
Right. Yes.
I mean, come on, let's call a spade a spade. And then the next week she decides who wants to pick.
I got you. I thought for some reason I was conflating those two episodes. Okay, tell us about the most exciting After the Rose in Bachelor / Et history.
Wait,
no, actually, you know
what?
Let me
bet with myself and see if I'm going to be right.
Okay. So I didn't watch the Jason Mesnick season where he actually dumped the lady he picked on air and then picked the other one in front of her.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that has to be the best. I didn't watch that season. But I did watch the Jake and Vienna season. And now that I'm thinking about it, I think thereafter the final rose was pretty standard. But then, like, in my memory, it was like a day later, they had a tearful sit down with Chris Harrison and flung accusations at each other and cried and called each other whores and stuff.
Because he was the biggest creep in Bachelor / Et history until Juan Pablo came along, right? Like, wasn't he sort of the low watermark for how gross a guy could be?
I hated him. I found him just creepy and farmy and fake. But Vienna was also like terrible in her own way. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to judge. But yeah, I'd say he was the low watermark. That's fair.
Do you personally think he was worse than Juan Pablo?
No.
Okay.
No. It's hard to get worse than Juan Pablo. I mean, such a unique mix of, you know, terrible
personality.
How can you
be that
traits?
Much of a cock and so boring? It's amazing.
So boring.
It's like I would become enraged by this, but I've already lost consciousness.
Well,
right. I was interested to see Andy's dad because, as I explained to Dave while we were watching this, giving him a lot of backstory because he doesn't know anything about anything.
True.
That during Juan Pablo's season, Andy had gotten to the hometown date stage with him and that her dad kind of like basically said to Juan Pablo that he thought this entire thing was gross. But now that it's Andy doing the picking, I guess he's fine.
Or it's not Juan Pablo. I'm sure that helps.
Sure.
Well, I think I don't know what kind of brainwashing tools they use on these families every year, but the previously sort of skeptical families are somehow won over when it's their own kid deciding to, you know, be the Bachelor / Et. And Hi Dorfman seems to have drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit. However, I do think underneath his, you know, grudging, go along to get along attitude, I think he actually still does think it's a load of crap. And he wasn't happy with either of, that was just my impression. He wasn't happy with either of Andy's final. I mean, who would be as a father?
Right. I mean, I would agree with that. And he also seemed to be, what was interesting to me was that, especially given how Nick totally went insane after he didn't get picked, what was interesting to me is how much both of the dudes in their like sit down asking permission of the dad, which first of all, gross.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Horrible.
Really disgusting. Particularly since the whole premise of the show is that she's the one that picks, but whatever, we'll get to that. That both of them were like, I really feel like I'm in with her dad, even though everything her dad said was like completely anodyne and non-committal and didn't tell them anything about anything. And it was, to me, par for the course with how the Bachelor or Bachelorette has to act with all of their suitors because, like, this was Nick's whole problem. They can't say anything about, like, they can't declare themselves. And so they basically have to just string them along. As I said to Dave while we were watching this, they have to act like hookers, where there are not hookers, strippers, where they're, like, just trying to keep them on the hook, like, just tell them exactly as much as they need to keep them from walking out the door and, like, stuffing, you know, metaphorical dollars in their G-string until Andy decides she's not going to make Nick go out to whatever the Dominican huppa and pretend that he's going to propose to her when she knows she's not going to say yes. Anyway, what do you guys think?
Well, that was particularly egregious on we all call them low flow showerhead and now I can't remember his actual name. The one with Courtney, you just said the memoir. No. Ben.
Ben. New low watermark. Like, sorry, let me revise my earlier position.
He literally was like the low watermark, like in terms of the water pressure available on the set. Everybody was just so dreadsy.
Yeah.
Anywho, it was obvious that Charlie Sheen Robertson was going to win by like week three. Mm-hmm. But then they just had to keep, and I think Tierra maybe was on that season, or am I thinking
No, Tierra was on Sean's.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Baby fish mouth. Yeah, see, you say names, and then I don't, like, the peanut gallery that I watch with calls everyone things like low flow showerhead and right. angry bird.
That's how I watch Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. Which Very one's similar. Angry bird? Chris Bukowski?
Yes.
Okay. So I think of him as poor man's Randy Quaid.
That too.
Wow.
Angry Wait, Quaid. Poor man's Randy Quaid.
Now that I pointed that out to you, you'll always see it forever.
And you also will see Yellow Angry Bird, because I'm telling you. And he's always angry. And I think he slept with everyone on Bachelor Pad last time. Ugh. Like, even Chris Harrison, I think they just, like...
I wouldn't doubt it.
Went to third.
Andrew Jackson's were exchanged. Okay, let me ask this then. Do we think it was kind of Andy to stop Nick before he went through the charade of, like, not even... She didn't even get to pick a ring. Never mind. Go down to the luau or whatever. Was that a nice thing for her to do?
I mean, yeah, I guess. But it would have been nicer for him, for her not to string him along, I guess, for however many weeks. But in the context of the show, that is the gentlewomanly thing to do, to let the guy off the hook before he actually gets on a one knee.
Whoa, sorry. I was trying to answer a Skype message.
Wake up, Dave.
sorry.
Dave's head hitting the keyboard. Just kidding. Continue. That was the gentlewomanly thing you said.
But, like, remember with Emily Maynard, then she actually let Ben get down on one knee and then kind of, like, pulled him up and was like, actually, I don't like you, and sent him home. I mean, that's the worst. So anything short of that, you know, you're being nice, I think.
Well, according to us, but according to the show, the worst thing you can do, and this is slightly different, but I couldn't believe that the extent to which Brad's, like, betrayal of the entire process and truth in the American way, I couldn't believe how much that was blown up when it's like, well, but he didn't want to marry either of them.
Right.
And then they're do it again. Like,
isn't Yeah. It's better to marry someone you don't like than to not pick someone. That's the logic of this show.
I mean, the logic of the show is probably it's better to just pretend you want to marry them because we only have a 10% marriage rate anyway. So just make it a good show and pretend, and then break up 3 weeks later like Bob Guinean, whatever his girl was. Remember him?
Yep, he's from the Detroit area, just like me.
Oh.
He was supposedly the sluttiest bachelor, fun fact.
Really?
That's I guess I word can on see the street.
That. He has that vibe where he's like a former fat kid, where he's like, now I'm going to get as much as I can off everybody. He was also the one who was like really charming in the previous season, like whichever one he was cast in. And then they bring him back and you're like, oh, yeah, now you're gross because you agreed to do this. Like,
right.
The process of the show, I think, strips everybody of whatever made them likable to begin with. We definitely saw it with Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and Desiree also. We were like, oh, we like her, except she agreed to come back and do this. Like, and now it's all going to go wrong.
But like when Josh was saying she's so special, it's like, is she? Because she seems like she just went through the basic bitchulator and now she's totally average and generic, just like you.
I have a question.
Please, Dave.
Yes.
So usually they get somebody from the past season to be the bachelorette.
Yes.
For the next season, right?
That has been the case for a long time.
But not necessarily the runner-up, right? Because there's no way they're picking...
Usually, no. It's usually, like, number four.
Okay. Okay. Right? I was going to say, because there's no way that guy is ever getting near a camera
again. Oh, absolutely not. Right. No, Nick turned into a total crazy stalker.
He did. You know what you were saying about when he was on the after show and he, you know, was all, like, Mr. Parmook in it. And don't you think he seemed like the kind of guy that would have said, when I made it with you? Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy that would phrase it that way?
Like he walked out of a Woody Allen 70s era movie?
Yep.
Yes, maybe.
When he said made love, I can't remember if he said made love to me or made love with me. Either way, horrible.
It's so gross.
Horrible.
Yes.
Yikes.
I never really felt bad for Andy during the season, but in that moment, it's like, the guy, not cool. Like, we've all agreed to pretend she's a virgin. Look, she's out here in this lacy white first communion dress. And now you've just got to shatter the illusion with your talk of
so...
love. And why is she in particular such a lightning rod for the slut shaming? It's really quite amazing.
Was she slut shamed? I think you're thinking of Claire from last season, Juan Pablo. made her cry because they had consensual sexual encounter in the ocean.
But wasn't there something with Andy also?
In the ocean.
Well, she called Juan Pablo out for being a boring asshole when they were in the fantasy suite together. He just talked about himself and name dropped and was narcissistic. Right. Like, she hadn't noticed that up until, you know, for the previous 8 weeks where he was acting like that. But then she woke up, I guess, from the coma she was in and decided to tell
Maybe
him
I was
how
also
felt.
In a coma and did conflate the two of them. But I thought his response to her being like, hey, you suck, was to be like, well, you sucked, if you know what I mean. Mm. And Espero you do.
I have a question to wrap up this conversation for you. So,
when will this estrogen bath end?
Okay. This can or cannot be the end. Last question. Up to you guys. Given everything you guys just said about how everything is terrible and everybody is bad and evil. Yeah. So, like, what do you get out of it? Is it just judgment?
This.
It's just sitting in judgment? Yeah. I mean, totally. To watch the show in the moment is excruciating. It's terrible. And not only is it like bad for the soul, but it's just poorly done all around. Just from a technical standpoint, there's like all these pregnant pauses and it's just like 15 minute show in a 2 hour, time slot. What's in it for you guys?
I can answer that in one word. Schadenfreude. Okay. Makes me feel better about my own life. and judgment, I guess, two words.
I know that's what Tara's in it for.
Yeah, although I mean, I watched probably a third of the season. I watched the premiere and I watched a couple when I was at my sister's the last 2 weeks and then obviously the finale. And so I feel like I got a handle on Andy. But she's, she's like all of them. Like all the personality gets stripped out of everyone. But then again, anyone who had personality wouldn't get cast. So it's very weird seeing how people try to cling on to characteristics and give them meaning. Like when she was rejecting Nick and was like, I just feel like we would just sit and overanalyze everything. Like, what are you even talking about? Like, he has nothing else to do except sit here for 9 weeks and hope you like him. And all he can do is seize on every tiny iota of evidence, which ended up being wrong. So I felt like that was kind of a mean way to let him down, but. I mean, what else was she going to say? I just don't like you. You have Jason Segel face and voice. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I watch it with a peanut gallery, and if the peanut gallery is not available or is watching some other show, I don't watch it. Stephanie's my peanut gallery. But then welcome. It's like worthwhile. Like, we're trying to get onto the little Twitter thing at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because they put up some pretty mean tweets, so we try to get on that way, and then trying to be totally sincere and also like having sociological discussions during it, because there's so much dead time and it's like they're parasailing, who gives a shit,
right.
So we try to figure out like who is left, who is watching this sincerely, or is this completely gone through the looking glass where everyone is watching it ironically and the production may or may not realize that.
Yeah,
that's a really good question. I wonder that all the time. Like, I think there are people who watch it sincerely, and they're the people who go on. I may or may not follow some of these people on Instagram, and I won't say who, but mostly Sean and Catherine. And these are the people who go on Sean and Catherine's creepy Instagram pictures and are like, I love you guys. Like, I want you to have a baby and stuff like that, So there are people out there, and I don't think it's ironic, because if it is, it's very well done irony. But there are people who genuinely think like, about love or whatever, and it's not right, and I think most people realize that, but I am curious about what the ratio is of people who watch it like me versus people who watch it like gram followers.
We can wrap up after this, but
I just
that
had a
relates
question.
To
go ahead
my question, which is, it's also interesting to watch the people, and it's usually women for some reason, at least in my theoretical estimation, who go on it like sort of as a joke, but if they last long enough, they become like, they get bored by it. And Catherine is exhibit A, that it was like, I'm absolutely sure she lost a bet, because the way she was talking to her sisters about it, we were like, what the heck? That her sister's like, what are you still do? Did you bone that, bro? And she's like, what? He's really special. And they're like, oh my gosh. Turn the camera off.
One final question, and then we can wrap it up. Stephanie, tell us about Bachelor in Paradise, which as we record this premieres tonight.
Wait, it really?
It's tonight.
Oh my god, I thought it was next week. Okay, I better get on that. I am
curtain,
so
folks.
so excited for it because it just looks like all of the interesting stuff, which, you know, the nuggets of interestingness on The Bachelor and Bachelorette are so few and far between. They're like little bits of gold. You know, when people get in fights, when people have sex, when people, you know, yell and scream, and when the paramedics show up, that those are the scenes we live for.
Yeah.
And it looks like Bachelor in Paradise is like 100% those scenes.
Yeah.
With the characters we know and love, like Angry Bird, Randy Quaid, and and the one arm girl, and what's his face? Marcus, Sad Marcus. Lots of people.
And Markel, right, from this season?
Markel, who's trying to brand himself as like the cookie guy, I guess. That's interesting.
Well, now that you've said that, I'm doubting that whether it is tonight. So everyone listening, check your local listings. But Bachelor in Paradise, Stephanie Green will be covering that for us too. Thank God.
Yay.
Starting off around the dial, I would like to talk about the Colbert Report. As most of us know, he will be soon winding down the Colbert Report and taking over the late show for David Letterman when David Letterman retires. And what was always a pretty great show, the Colbert Report, is now so, so great because he has the case of senioritis to end all senioritises. It's so much fun to watch him just like be goofy. He doesn't care. He like he's more savage than he ever has been in the news segments, which is awesome. And then last week they had on like a New Orleans jazz musician, and they did a performance that went from the studio like out into the street outside the studio, and he was like dancing and doing spins and stuff. It was such a pleasure. I know that he's going to be very excited to take over the Late Show, and I'm sure it's going to still be great too, but I'm really going to miss the Colbert Report, especially this version of the Colbert Report, that DGAF, which is amazing.
What do you got for us, Stephanie?
So mine is a pick from PBS. It's called Sex in the Wild. It comes on Wednesday nights here. I don't know if that's just my local thing. Check your local listings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly what it says it is. They talk about sex with different animals. No, that's not, that came out wrong. They talk about how different animals have sex.
Damn it.
So far they've done orangutans, elephants, and marsupials. And they're going to do dolphins. So I'm very excited about that. And it's totally gross. And you feel like a total weirdo for watching it. And it's this female anatomist, like a comparative anatomist, and then this British male veterinary scientist. And they are just so frank, and they like see no humor in what they're doing at all. And they do stuff like, you know, they have to simulate koala sex by making a fake koala vagina and stuff like that. And they just don't even crack a smile. And it's just fascinating. It's riveting. It's great. I highly recommend it.
That's
but watch
amazing.
It by yourself, probably.
I'll be in my phone.
Tara's been doing the Fringe Marathon Diary for previously.tv, and I have been watching also, picked it up probably late season one, early season two. Enjoying it a lot, but I will say I do remember everybody saying, like, get ready for Olivia, is that what they're calling her?
Yeah.
The alternate universe Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta say, I'm not really getting all the love for that. I think that that character was sort of like a baseline four, and maybe she brought her up to a six or something like that.
You mean regular Olivia was a four?
Yeah.
And Olivia is a six.
Yeah, she's not really like balls out anything. It's just like a slightly different take on the same character with red hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit disappointed by that. And it wasn't that it's bad. I think it was just one of those cases where fandom oversold me on it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Tara?
Yeah, I didn't really have any expectations of her character. I was happy to see Anna Torv wearing colors sometimes,
because
that was different. But
and her hair not in a ponytail.
Yeah, although the bangs were bad. I mean, it was a lot of wig problems in this phase of the show. But I was less interested. I didn't care that much about Olivia. We're now over the hump where regular Olivia is back in the correct universe.
Right.
They switched back. We're officially past the halfway point of the series, too, which is exciting. But I liked the switching back and forth with the episodes from one universe to another, and how some were like 100% in the other universe, which is interesting to me. The differences, like in the one where the guy's setting off weird butterfly effects with the pen, Dave's like, ooh, free pen. And then we find out, oh, pens are actually pretty rare in this universe. Like stuff like that was fun.
Yeah.
And I liked the way that they explored the possibilities of that you know, dramatic premise. I do know from what people are telling me, I'm going to start hating it soon.
Yeah.
Apparently it lasted like at least one, if not two seasons longer than it should have. So that's not the best knowing right. that's coming. But anyway, it's been fun to watch.
And really this show is about Walter.
Yes, I'm glad you agree with me about Walter. Yeah. He's the best.
He is like leaps and bounds, like the number one reason to watch this show.
Absolutely.
And one of the greater characters in the past 10 years for sure. All right, let's end this with Sarah's.
I'd like to talk about The Leftovers. I actually have a question for the assembled, or perhaps only for Tara, because she's the only one that I know for sure has read the book.
Hello.
I'm really enjoying the show. I mean, yes, it's bleak, but I'm kind of not understanding that that's like a general complaint about it. I mean, given the premise, are they supposed to show people who are totally fine after everyone departed? Like, there's not much of a show there. I'm not sure what people want from it.
Yeah.
And also it is based on a book, but here's my question. When it's done, should I read the book after?
Yeah, I like the book. I thought it was good. It's different from the series in some ways, which I won't say. I mean, if you're going to read it, you will see. I think it doesn't feel as bleak to read it because you can't actually see it. Like the show, I understand people bailing on it, especially after not the episode last night, but the previous week that opened with a stoning.
Yeah, like, that was pretty far.
I saw a lot of people in my Twitter feed that were like, "Well, that's it for me," and I understand that. Like, it's not fun to watch. Like, it's,
no, but and yet I do look forward to it because I love this. Like, it does have processy things to it.
It's fascinating.
A weird thing to say, but just around the edges, like that they have this whole department, like Homeland Security, yeah. that deals with this, and that people, like, of course, people cynically sprang up mm-hmm. in the gaps to provide services, in this case, like a replica of your loved one, so you can have this goodbye ceremony that you were deprived because people just aren't there. So,
I like that. I think the soft sci-fi elements of it are really interesting to explore, like you said. Not just that, but like, you know, the the latest episode I feel like is the best one, and we focused on Nora, who works for the Department of, I forget what it's of
Suddenly Departed.
Yes,
DSD, is that right?
Yes, and so it goes into, as you said, like the ancillary businesses and jobs and stuff that would spring up, but also like how, when she's checking into the hotel, the guy's like, "Please read and sign our hotel code of conduct because we had some problems with your conference last year." Like, of course these people would let off crazy amounts of steam. Like, think about what they have to deal with every single day. So yeah. I think that part of it is fascinating. So the book is, I don't know, a very different experience, but I think also one that is worth having maybe after you've let it lie fallow for like 6 months or so.
Oh, okay. I also liked that last night's it had echoes of the beginning of the sixth season of The Sopranos,
mm-hmm.
when alternative Tony
yes.
is whatever his name is and gets lost and
Kevin something.
Has his wallet stolen. So that I enjoyed that sequence, so that was fun for me to watch.
Yeah.
Hi, Liv. Hi, Mom. So we just finished watching the next episode of Face Off. Can you describe the challenge to me, please?
They had to choose an object, and they had to make a creature that represents that object.
That's correct. And which one was the winner? Can you describe the creature that was the winner?
I forgot. The tuna. Fish. And so they made this big tuna fish man, big fat. He looked sort of like a fish, but he was holding a giant tuna fish, and it said good night because he goes to sleep with the fishies.
Oh. And which one was the loser? Which one, what did that one look like?
It was a rat. They chose a clock. Their object was a clock, and they chose a rat to make. It was weird.
That is weird.
So they had to make him holding this, like, bomb, and it had a clock on the end of it.
Yep.
To figure out something to do with the clock.
Huh. At least they got it in there. And today you learned about coarse language. What is the worst coarse language that you heard on today's episode?
Stupid. Don't they know I'm just six?
Thanks, Livy.
Thank you, Olivia. That was my six-year-old niece, Olivia Kwan, reporting on the latest episode of Face Off.
Everyone in this room is now Domer.
Domer.
We got to tighten that up in the weeks to follow,
guys. It's already happening.
So because of the vagaries of Time Warner last week, there has not been a new episode of Under the Dome in between recordings. But I can cite something that specifically happened in the last episode, which is all of a sudden someone has an amazing 2-month stockpile of food. Come on, show. Like, that was one of the last things that would be dramatically interesting, like everybody panicking about the food. Now they're just like, no, we just found this magic hoarder who's been, like, bringing supplies of food to town, apparently whatever she can smurf in her car, I guess, because she still has gas, too. Anyway, that was the dumbest thing that happened on Under the Dome this week.
That was the hoarder sting.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
There you go. All right, everybody, you know what that music means. It means it is time for the canon, and Stephanie, our guest, is invited to submit something to the canon, and I believe she does have something. Take it away, Stephanie.
I do have something, and I took a different tack than the last time I submitted to the canon. Not that I wanted to talk about that, but I chose Felicity Season 1, Episode 11, Give Me an O. This is, I swear, a sincere choice on my part because I'm a really big Felicity fan. And I'd probably argue almost every episode from one for the canon. But let's talk about this one. I think this episode is representative of Felicity, the series, in kind of an elemental way because it has all the elements one would want. It develops the Noel-Ben rivalry. It has a little bit of Megan being sassy and a little bit of Julie being an asshole. And it includes a few genuine moments of humor or discomfort, as the case may be. And it perfects the sweet, earnest tone that the series became famous for. And it's still season one, so, you know, no one's getting anyone pregnant. No one's time traveling. No one's having an identity crisis. You know, it's still pretty typical college stuff.
Can we just put a pin in time travel and then come back to it? Because I have a question about that.
Yes.
Proceed.
Okay. So, it's Felicity's freshman year at the University of New York, no relation to New York University, and she's just coming back from winter break. She and Noel, her doe-eyed RA, shared a kiss before she left, but their relationship status is still unclear. So when Felicity gets back to the dorm, she and Noel kiss, and then she tells him that she's been thinking about their relationship. That is the clip.
Hey, so there's something I have to tell you. I was going to say something on the phone yesterday, but...
What is it?
I did a lot of thinking over vacation, you know?
Oh, what is it? You don't think we should start dating, right? You might ruin our relationship? Or you like me too much and you don't want to jeopardize what we have with physical intimacy, right? Because you can say any of that stuff to me. I've been preparing for the last 4 weeks for a speech like that. So.
No. I've decided that you and I should have sex.
So this is an especially big deal, we learned, because this will be Felicity's first time having sex, and she is not half-assing things. So first, she asks Noel to go get tested for HIV before they do anything, and he enthusiastically agrees. And then she charges into a bookstore determined to educate herself before doing the deed. That is the next clip.
So I decided if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And you know what? I'm not going to be embarrassed about it. There is no reason why I should feel embarrassed at all. Excuse me, where are your sex books? They're right there. Is this for a class? Oh, no, I'm buying them for me. Personal edification. Oh. And what specifically were you looking for? About sex. Specifically? Mm-hmm. Having it? Yeah, I was looking at this one, actually. Mars and Venus in the Bedroom, which sounded perfect, but it didn't have a lot of pictures. And I'm a very visual person. I get very confused spatially when there aren't pictures, when they're trying to explain things, you know? Am I making you uncomfortable?
No, you're just talking really loudly.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't... Do you know how good it feels? No, actually, that's kind of the point.
It's a book.
Oh, no, I don't have that one.
How about this?
Give me an O.
Page 46 is really something. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll take it.
So with Noel cleared for sex and Felicity educated on the ins and outs, pun intended, of intercourse, they get out their day planners and schedule sex for Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, and everything is perfect. And that's the next clip, please.
Wow. Okay. So, when do you want to do this?
Now?
I don't want to rush it.
No. Okay. How about tonight?
Lecture.
Okay. Tomorrow?
I got a lab tomorrow.
How about Wednesday? I'm wide open Wednesday.
I'm working at Dean and DeLuca.
Isn't there someone who can cover for you?
Yeah, I'm sure I can. Okay. Noel, sex. Is 8 o'clock okay?
For sex? 8 o'clock? 8's good.
I'll see you then.
Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
Great. And hey, if you need to reschedule or anything, just let me know.
Oh, I can pretty much guarantee that won't be a problem.
Great.
Except everything is not perfect because Julie exists and she's fixing to ruin everything as usual. She's just coming off of her infamous date rape incident at the pasty hands of Brian Krakow. And normally I'd be totally sympathetic to her plight, but it's Julie. So shut up, Julie. Also, Julie has a secret. She spent winter break in Vermont with Ben, Felicity's longtime crush, and Julie and Ben have been hanging out a lot, reading Walt Whitman aloud, staring longingly into each other's eyes, but not actually making out or anything. Anyway, Julie wants to tell Felicity all of this because, as I might have mentioned earlier, Julie's an asshole. So Julie comes to Noel's room and tells him that she wants to tell Felicity, and Noel convinces Julie not to tell Felicity the news until after their planned sex date, and Julie reluctantly agrees. Unfortunately for Noel, said planned sex date ends in disaster, with Noel's room set on fire after a mishap with a candle and a dried-out Christmas tree. But Noel, undaunted, makes a reservation at the Worcester Hotel for him and Felicity. Okay, so they're in their romantic hotel room. Sex is like T-0 when Felicity decides to call her bestie Julie from the phone in the bathroom. Julie doesn't come right out and say that anything's wrong, but she sounds all mopey, and Felicity knows that something's up. So she hangs up, comes out of the bathroom, and she asks Noel about it. And Noel, like a dumb idiot, ends up telling her that Julie and Ben have been hanging out. And this does not go well. That's the next clip.
She's with Ben.
What do you mean?
Julie and Ben, they've been, I don't know, hanging out.
Hanging out?
Yeah, that's what she called it, hanging out. You know, they spend time together.
How much time?
I think she said every night.
When did you talk to her?
Yesterday.
So you've known since yesterday that Julie and Ben were having an affair and you didn't tell me?
It's not an affair.
Ah, wow, I can't believe you didn't tell me.
Why should it matter?
Because it matters. I don't know.
Why, because they didn't tell you earlier or because you're still obsessed with Ben?
Because I had a big talk with her yesterday. I mean, I told her all about us, and I told her how much I valued her friendship. And you know what she said about what you just told me? Nothing.
It's because she knows the truth.
Oh, okay. If I am, as you say, obsessed with Ben, why am I here with you?
I don't know.
No, what are you doing? Where are you going?
We can't do this. I don't want to be the rehearsal.
You're not the rehearsal.
You know how I know that I am? Because I know that when I tell you what I'm about to tell you, your face is going to drop. Ben and Julie went to Vermont together.
Her face does drop. And needless to say, they don't have sex again that night either. Poor Noel. So after some reflection, a couple days later, Felicity confronts Julie about the whole kerfuffle, and things get smoothed over with everyone apologizing and everyone's friends again. And by the end of the episode, Julie and Ben are together, and Noel and Felicity are also together, albeit not having sex. So, yay. And finally, the episode ends with a rare treasure, a tape back from Sally. And that is the last clip.
Dear Felicity, I can't stop thinking about your last tape and how you must be feeling. All that anticipation and uncertainty. All that wondering what it's going to be like.
They're sitting in the dirtiest lunchroom in the history of universities right now.
Pretty dirty.
Snuffy Walden, ladies and gentlemen.
My first time, I was a freshman at Brown. I met this guy at a party. I'm not sorry about that night. It's just I now know something I didn't know then. That our best decisions, the ones that we never regret, come from listening to ourselves, which is exactly what you've done, and why no matter what you decide, you should feel very proud.
So I love that. Also, because we get to find out that Sally went to Brown. So that's it. Everything's wrapped up into a tidy bow at the end of the episode. That's the end. What do you guys think?
I'll go first. Affair is the new making love. Ben and Julie are having an affair. Such a weird way to put it.
So grown up.
It's Julie. No one has an affair with Julie.
Seriously, when we were watching this
clips.
I think the only other episode that Dave has seen of Felicity may be the one that we talked about for the canon.
No, I've seen a few. Yeah,
but you didn't remember the time travel thing. We'll talk about that when you get your chance.
Yeah, that no, I obviously.
So I was like, oh, fucking Julie. And he was like, what's wrong with Julie? I was like, everything. Her stupid little rat face, her dumb outfits. When they show her dorm room, it was like, that poster is what's wrong with Julie. Everything's wrong with Julie. Especially, I mean, okay, not saying that she went to Vermont with Ben, fine. But I believe that they establish in this episode, she and Ben are not even, like, having sex. They're literally just sleeping in the bed together.
Yeah, exactly.
They haven't even kissed yet.
Right, why she's making this such a fucking federal case, like, shut up, Julie. You are dying to tell Felicity because you want to shove it in her face because you're a bitch. The worst. I also like the side characters. The Blair and Elena storyline with the skirt or tube top or headscarf is great. Megan asking, do you want some advice? And Felicity saying no. And then Megan like, okay. And then leaves like she doesn't care.
Love
so
her.
Megan. The hotel room. They walk into this room. I know Dave is going to talk more about the 90s-osity of this episode, which is like...
Oh, yeah.
Oppressive, but
an iMac.
Exactly, that's just one of the many things. Stay tuned. But that hotel room is so 90s looking to me, and that bed was so cheap and shitty.
Yeah,
it was like an IKEA bed. What hotel bought this bed? Anyway, I also love, although you didn't mention it, the scene where Noel runs into Ben in the mailroom and he's like,
oh, yeah.
So itching to tell Ben that he and Felicity are about to fuck. And Ben is like, could not care less about any of this. Ben with the like typical Ben big dick confidence. Like he doesn't care what Noel is doing. Even if Noel had come out and said it, he would have been like, great. Like he does not care about Noel, which is awesome. My only knock on the episode, which I otherwise think is pretty perfect, is I feel like the Noel and Felicity problem was solved too easily.
Mm-hmm. I agree, actually.
But other than that, this is quintessential Felicity, and I really loved watching it again. Sarah?
I agree that this is quintessential Felicity. I don't usually rewatch this one because it is so on point.
It's about really cringy.
Like, over-prepping, keener virgin, like, say, Sarah D. Punting. Would have been like at a similar point in her life, and the, like how talking in the bookstore, like it's so good.
Yeah,
so, I can't take it. I can't take it.
Yeah,
and the scene with the sexual health guy where she
yes,
goes.
Yes, I was also going to mention that.
The ice cream.
Her face during the unrolling demo, and I have to say, Carrie Russell is brilliant throughout this whole episode because her like that little catch in her throat when she's like, Julie didn't even mention this to me. And she's trying to be all like making it about Julie not mentioning it mm-hmm. instead of about what it's actually about. Mm-hmm. And I agree that that did get smoothed over too quickly. And that Julie is the worst. I think we can all agree on that. Occasionally I tweet about that. No one ever is like, what? She's fine. She's not fine. She's the worst. Yeah. I also loved the Sally tape because you can hear how drunk Janine Garofalo is. She's like, oh my God, this is so dumb. I would never do this.
Literally phoning it in.
Oh, wait. I do have one more teeny knock on the episode. Like, I know the scheduling thing is supposed to be, you know, her scheduling it. Like, how long? She's not a Mennonite. Like, she lives in the world. How long does she think it takes for a 19-year-old boy to have sex? Like, you can do it before lab, during lab, after lab. What are you up to, 12 minutes now?
You can do it at Dean and DeLuca on your break. Just have him, bring him into the storeroom. That's what it's
really
for.
Only going to have to take one pant leg off. Like, this is not a whole procedure. Listen, not open heart surgery.
Wear that giant skirt that she was wearing when she went to the health center. You can just get under it. No one will know.
Not that he'd want to, because that thing is literally made from tent material.
Speaking of Mennonite.
We laughed because when Stephanie proposed this for the canon, I was like, someone's kissing up to Buncee.
Yep.
And it's working. Yeah. Season one, I mean, I love the whole series, including kind of the time travel, because what the hell. But yeah, the first season, especially this middle part, is so brilliant. And
it's really
a great episode.
Something
it was
very
fun
special.
To watch again.
Yeah.
When you guys say time travel, do you mean they're just skipping around in the timeline? No. Or is somebody actually traveling through time?
So, Sarah, you've probably watched them more recently than me, so you can correct me if I get any of this wrong. I believe that they had to fill out the last two episodes of a season four, so they really wound it up in 20. And then they were like, oh, we have to do two more? Okay. And so they did a flash forward with Felicity seeing her life in the future?
Okay.
No. Or is it she goes back? I can't remember.
But it's sort of like Christmas caroled
it
a bit.
And then she goes back and like redoes a bunch of things. Because Elena gets killed and then Ben cheats on her.
Fire.
And then, yeah.
Wow.
And Megan saves the day again because Megan's the best.
So it's a kind of weird way to end the series when the episode, two episodes prior to that was perfectly fine.
Right.
But anyway, that's what happens.
Weird. So for Sarah, we had another giant Noel sweater. One of many.
Yes.
That was fun to
all
see.
The sweaters in this episode were giant.
Felicity had a giant sweater, definitely.
She did. She had a bunch.
Okay, so here's my big problem with the episode. At the start, Noel has a Bondi blue iMac.
He does.
It's got a handle built in, and he's holding it like a flour sack baby. And then he drops it when Felicity tells him that she wants to have sex. It has a handle. Those things are heavy. Anybody would be holding it by the handle.
What kind of computer science major is he?
Exactly.
He's Twitter-pated.
But there were, as Tara says, tons. This is like the 90th thing that has 90'd in recent viewing. And to celebrate it, I have made a list.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh, the 90s things in this episode. Bondi blue iMac.
Yep.
That the milk choices at Dean and DeLuca were just whole and non-fat.
No mention of soy or rice.
Yeah, the giant
or almond.
The giant sweaters, yes. The sheer Buddha shirts tucked into the pants.
Yes. Julie was wearing.
The butterfly clips, the tiny beady necklaces.
Phone
what about
ordering
Rachel except Felicity?
What about Felicity calling a catalog to order a bra on her landline?
When she lives in fucking Soho, let's just walk out to Broadway and go to Victoria's Secret, you weirdo.
P.S., you don't need one. No offense.
Let's not forget about Bill Clinton in the background with the saxophone jamming. The scene where soy bomb streaked across the lunchroom. The exciting white Bronco chase through Chelsea. Felicity getting a tribal tattoo on her arm. Julie crying about her dead Tamagotchi. The psych professor giving the lecture on rollerblades, decorating the Christmas tree with AOL discs. When Noel got sad about Felicity, started singing, then dancing to Achy Breaky Heart. taking a study break and playing with Felicity's solo Skip It. And finally, Ben walking face first into a wall of Crystal Pepsi. For these reasons and so much more, I did enjoy this episode. I thought the sex in college stuff was, even if it's not a virgin story, it's the awkwardness of it all, was spot on. And, Felicity is very sort of, it seems like be up there with like my so-called life in shows that ring true for people of a certain age,
Yeah.
And I feel kind of gross saying that,
Can hear some of the music cues that we heard were recycled, I'm pretty sure, from my so-called life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is great. And I do agree. The knock is that it was a bit pat how they were able to sort of get out of it. It being making it.
Oh, Dave.
What?
No. Just say it again.
What? Making it?
Stop it. Stop saying it.
Forget you, Lloyd.
All right. So I'm going to vote yes. Tara?
Yes.
Sarah?
You know it.
Felicity, Season 1, Episode 11, Gimme an O. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Tara has our winner.
So Sharknado 2 star Tara Reid had a kind of bad moment last week when she gave an interview where she confidently said a Sharknado could really happen in real life. But she came back from that by releasing a cologne, which you can buy through her website, which I presume is TaraReid.com, which is called Shark by Tara. So for steering into the skid that is her career, I kind of admire her. Winner of the week is Tara Reid, and let's all go buy Shark by Tara.
Sarah, are you ever a loser?
It's Fox News, today and every day, but in particular because anchor Bob Beckel called Andy Dorfman a slut.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Gross.
And then his co-anchor was like, you want to walk that back? He's like, nope, tramp. Like, jeez. All right. So they're still bringing the branded ick over there. Good to know. Continue to avoid.
Indeed.
Speaking of ick, I have a question for you.
Oh, no.
Do you know what time it ick?
Fiance type stuff time?
It's game time.
Time to have an affair with lovemaking?
All right, everybody. It is game time. This is the eighth game time of the season. Tara and valued guests are tied for first place.
Blaise.
Yeah, so with 3 points each.
First
it's a me, a Mario. And Sarah has 1 point. Ooh. Today's game time comes from Doug Dale. And he earns himself... Oh, I'm sorry. That might be Dougal Dale. Sorry. Who earns himself an extra credit? Redeemable for an extra hot, great mini topic of his choosing. Also, I'd like to thank the folks who helped flesh out these entries on the Twitter helpy account, EHG Assist. So thank you, guys. All right. Today, we are playing Also Known As, which will test your knowledge of TV character aliases.
Interesting.
I will read you the name of an alias. You tell me the character that it is an alias for.
Okay.
Correct answer, 2 points. You can ask for a hint. I'll give you the show we're talking about.
Okay.
After the hint is given, a correct answer worth 1 point.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Any questions?
Nope.
All right. Settle in. We have 69 questions today.
Oh, goodness gracious. Beyonce type stuff.
Okay. Let's see who will go first.
We will start with valued guest.
All right. So we're going to start with Stephanie. Let's see who's going second since we're all in different cities.
We will start with Tara.
All right. So we're going to go. Stephanie, Tara, Sarah, are we ready to play Also Known As?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Stephanie. Here is your alias. H.E. Pennypacker. H.E. Pennypacker's alias. Who's that character?
Oh, God. And
you can, Seinfeld is the show.
Elaine. Bennis.
Cosmo Kramer is H.E. Pennypacker. Mm. All right, so we're on to
me.
Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Burt Macklin.
Andy Dwyer.
From Parks and Recreation, correct for 2 points. Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah.
Yep.
John Dark. John Dark.
Oh, Joan from Clone High.
Correct. Joan of Arc from Clone High.
Nice.
Back to Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Quailman.
That has to be Doug.
2 points.
Wow, nice.
Doug Funny from Doug.
Child of the 90s.
Very nice.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
Dr. Shoshana Schoenbaum.
Show.
The United States of Terra.
Terra?
Yeah, all right. I'll give you that 1 point. I will accept first names for some of these answers.
Oh.
That's fine.
Tara Crazy Pants?
Yeah, Tara Gregson.
Okay.
But I will give you that 1 point. Okay, Sarah.
Yep.
George Maharis.
George Maharis?
Yes.
Oh, hint.
Arrested Development. George Maharis.
George Maharis. George Michael.
Good for 1 point.
Really?
Yep.
From the fourth season you may not have watched because you heard it was terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephanie. Shit tangy.
My God. Hint?
Project Runway.
What?
Shit tangy. And the author, Dougal, was good enough. I hope I'm saying that right. Dougal, right? Dougal?
Dougal.
Was nice enough to provide some phonetic ones. And he has in brackets shit plus tangy.
Shit tangy. Wow. Christian Siriano?
Sarah, do you know?
Zulema?
That's right. Mm. Yeah. All right, Sarah. Jack?
Yeah, it's me.
Tara?
Yes.
Jack Package.
Show?
How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, Barney?
1 point. All right, Sarah.
Yep.
Magic Head.
Magic Head?
Yes. Psych.
Ew. Gus.
Good
nice.
For 1 point. That brings us
guess.
Into our first score break.
All right. Sarah and I are tied with 4 each. Stephanie has 2.
All right. It's very early. And after each score break, everybody gets a reverse question. Reverse.
What?
Tara.
Yes. Wait, aren't you starting with Stephanie?
Stephanie. The actual character's name is Jimmy McGill. What's that character's better known alias? Jimmy McGill.
No, please.
Breaking Bad. Who's Jimmy McGill?
I can't watch Breaking Bad. I don't know. Sorry.
It's Saul Goodman.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I would have gone with Jesse.
I'm like the one person who never saw that show.
You should watch
it. It's okay.
It's pretty good.
I watched season one. I didn't like it.
Gets better from there.
All right. Sarah?
Nope.
Tara?
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you. Wanda Slater.
Show?
Ugly Betty.
Wanda Slater. Oh, Wilhelmina Slater.
Correct for 1 point. Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Dick Whitman, better known as
Don Draper.
2 points.
Nice.
2 points.
Lee Dunn.
All right, back to our normal types. Stephanie.
Yep.
Rex Buckingham.
Please.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Who's the character that is an alias for?
Rex Buckingham. I don't remember the names of the characters.
We'll accept just first name for this.
Whatever the name of the Andy Samberg character is. what was that guy's name? I don't know. Sorry.
Always a good guess to say just the character's name in these situations. That would have been wrong, but I'm just saying, throwing it out there. A lot of the times, for some reason, on these shows, they share a name. Jake Peralta.
Yeah, that's who I was trying to think of. Didn't think of it.
You were right with the Andy thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Me.
Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Johnson.
Hint.
Lost. Kevin Johnson, an alias for this character on Lost. Probably all of them have aliases on Lost.
Yeah, I'll just say Jack?
Michael Dawson from Lost.
Sure. No idea who that is.
Sarah.
Yep.
Oh, crap. Elaine. No, that can't be right. A-L-A-Y-N-E. Baelish.
Elaine Baelish. Hint.
Game of Thrones. I will accept first name.
Elaine. Oh, Christ. I don't know. That girl with the hair.
Yeah, that girl with the hair. Technically correct. Sansa Stark. Sansa Stark.
Oh, sure.
All right, Tara.
Yeah? No, Stephanie?
I think it's
Stephanie. Oh, my God.
Wow.
What we should do is, after I say every question, somebody says, oh, I'm ready for my next one, Dave.
Why don't you just put a post-it on your...
Nope.
Okay.
Heisenberg. Heisenberg.
Hint?
Well, it's a show called Breaking Bad.
God damn it.
Yeah, everybody watching this right now is like,
Heisenberg.
This is
it.
So unfair because I knew all of Sarah's.
That's the evil mistress that is randomization.
I know. Yeah. Heisenberg. I mean, I'll guess the main guy, Walter White.
Nice.
1 point. Okay. 1 point. 1 point.
I'm ready for my question now.
Bocephus.
I
will accept first name.
Maggie.
Correct. Maggie Caruso from Playing House. And that was number 17.
It's pretty good.
All right. Sarah.
Yep.
Julius Pepperwood.
Julius Pepperwood. I feel like I'm going to be mad that I had to ask for a hint, but hint.
New Girl.
Oh. Yeah, that doesn't help me. and I also don't know anyone's names. Coach.
Oh, well, you threw it out there.
That is a guy on the show.
But that's not the right answer. It's Nick. Nick Miller.
Oh, all right.
Who's ready for this one?
Stephanie.
I am.
Rusty Shackleford. Rusty Shackleford. King of the Hill.
Bobby Hill.
Dale Gribble is Rusty Shackleford. All right.
Me.
Tara.
Yep.
Michael Scarn.
Michael Scott.
2 points from The Office. All right, bringing us into our second score break. Sarah.
Yes.
Regina Phalange. Regina Phalange.
Hint.
Tara, do you want to tell her where show's from?
Friends.
So you probably, I'm going to guess.
One in
you
three
got,
chance of yeah. probably guessing right.
Yeah.
Phoebe.
Nice!
1 point.
Okay, I have 9, Sarah has 7, Stephanie has 3.
All right, so you know what that means. Everybody's getting a reversey question.
Sounds like butt stuff.
Oh, no. Philip Blake, Stephanie. Philip Blake, better known under this alias. That's his real name. What's his alias?
I feel bad that I have to ask for a hint for every question. Hint, please.
The Walking Dead.
I have no idea.
That's the governor from The Walking Dead. All right. So, Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Osborne.
Hint.
Community.
Alex Osborne.
Yep.
Shit. It's been so long. Chang?
Starburns.
Damn it.
Starburns. All right. Sarah.
Yes.
Galina Reznikov. Galina Reznikov.
Hint.
Orange is the New Black. Who is...
I don't... Piper.
Red.
Red?
That's yeah. Red. Yeah. All right. Normal question. Stephanie. Hugh Honey. Hugh Honey.
Hint.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Charlie.
Nope, sorry. Wrong. Press the wrong button. I'm sorry. That's Dennis Reynolds.
Worst.
And fired.
Terrible button
press. I'm getting demoralized.
Oh, no. All right.
Welcome to my life.
Tara.
Yeah.
Clive Bixby.
Phil Dunphy.
2 points from Modern Family. Sarah. Victor Nightingale.
Victor Nightingale.
Yes.
Hint.
30 Rock. Alias for this character on 30 Rock.
Jack.
Nice. Jack Donaghy. That was his cookie jar
his
collector.
Cookie jar collecting name.
Alias.
Uh-huh.
All right, back to Stephanie. Vic Ferrari. Vic Ferrari.
Kent.
Taxi. Yeah.
I don't know.
You weren't even a glimmer in anybody's eye when that was on. That's Latka. Latka from Taxi. All right.
Me.
We're to
me,
Tara.
Your wife.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Featherbottom.
Tobias Funke.
2 points from Rusted Development. And to Sarah, Beef Squatch.
Beef Squatch.
This is the kind of thing that makes me think you should watch this show. There's a hint. You don't watch it.
Yeah. Beef Squatch.
I have a feeling I know what it's going to be, too. Hint?
Bob's Burgers.
No, that's not what I thought it would be.
Got a character from Bob's Burgers?
Bob.
Gene Belcher. Gene Belcher, the boy. Okay. All right.
Sorry, friends.
Shroy Kabocha. Translated
Shroy?
To... Yeah. Shiroi. S-H-I-R-O-I. Kabocha. Translates to white pumpkin. White pumpkin.
Oh my god. And?
Archer. Who's the white pumpkin on Archer?
Archer.
Incorrect. Pam Poovy. Yeah, Pam. All right. Tara.
Yep.
Big Fudge.
Hint.
How I Met Your Mother.
Marshall?
Good for 1 point. Sarah.
Yep.
The Ebony Falcon.
Hint. The
Ebony Falcon is from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, this character.
Shit.
Ebony
Bolt?
Falcon. Good guess.
No.
Terry.
Terry.
Yeah. Terry. All right, everybody. That brings us into our third score break.
Yep. Okay. I have 14. Sarah has 8. Stephanie has 3.
Okay. A bit of a spread, but lots of game
still
left.
So much game.
And remember, it's time for your reversey question. Who's up?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Gabriel Gray. Gabriel Gray. Better known under this alias, he is from Heroes.
No idea.
Sylar from Heroes. All right, Tara.
Yeah.
Michael C. Vaughn.
Well, I don't know what his real name was from Alias. I don't know.
André Michaud.
Right, some French bullshit.
Michel Valpain.
Lindsay Dwyer. Lindsay Dwyer for you, Sarah.
Oh. Quinn.
2 points. Quinn
Finally
from Scandal.
Bitch is good for something.
Wow, good
that
pull.
And only that.
All right, so we're back to Stephanie.
Me.
Henry Gale. Henry Gale.
Gale, that sounds familiar. Hint?
Lost. Henry
nope,
Gale's
doesn't
from Lost.
Sound familiar.
Oh, okay, no, go guess. Guess, sorry. Take a guess. First name is acceptable.
What's a character on Lost? I don't know.
Losty.
Made that up.
That's Ben Linus. Ben Linus from Lost.
He stole it from The Wizard of Oz, which may be why it was familiar.
Oh, okay.
Tara.
Yep.
Patrick Bateman.
Hint?
Dexter.
Dexter.
1 point. For Sarah. Duke Silver. Duke Silver.
Duke Silver?
Yes.
Okay. Hint.
Parks and Recreation.
I don't know anyone on Parks and Recreation. I'm a communist. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Stephanie?
Ron Swanson. You guys are the company.
All right.
Hey, I knew the Siler one.
All right, Stephanie.
Yep.
Beth Shields.
And
Orphan Black.
Oh.
First name is fine.
Yeah, Sarah?
Good for 1 point, Sarah Manning.
Me.
Courtney Winters.
Hint.
Trophy wife.
Oh, oh my god, I've already forgotten her name. No!
Tisk, tisk.
It's the Marcia Gay Harden character. And her name. Oh my god, I can't remember.
Diane. Diane Buckley. All right, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Lacey LaPlante. Or LaPlante.
LaPlante.
Hint.
Weeds.
I don't know her name. I like the name Beverly. Let's go with that one.
Nope. Nancy Botwin. Nancy Botwin. All right, Stephanie. Either Common or Cayman. K-A-M-I-N. Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, God. I don't know.
As heard in a previous canon submission, we can say that.
Oh, Picard? Captain Picard?
One point. Very good. All right, Tara.
Yep.
Rob Petrie.
Hint?
The X-Files.
Fox Mulder?
1 point. That was the Suburban episode
right.
Yeah, he goes as Rob Dick Van Dyke's character name. All right, bringing us into our score break for Sarah. Captain Yesterday.
Hint.
Futurama.
My mind is now empty to Futurama characters. What is my problem?
I don't know. Got a guess?
Zoidberg. I'm just happy I remembered Zoidberg.
I love that you always guess Zoidberg.
And give myself a Sarah point.
The answer was Philip J. Fry.
Oh. Okay.
That was question 45.
Okay. I have 16, Sarah has 10, Stephanie has 5.
All right. Here's your reversey questions, everybody. Starting with Stephanie.
Yep.
Reginald Cousins, better known under this alias.
Real name. What's the hint?
The Wire.
Another show I've never seen one episode of. Oh, wait, I might know this one. Stringer Bell.
I like that guess.
Bubbles. Bubbles. Yeah. All right, Tara.
Yep.
Norval Rogers.
Hint.
Scooby-Doo.
Shaggy?
1 point.
Shaggy had a real name?
Yep, and it's Norval Rogers.
All right.
All right, Sarah. Yep. Miley Stewart, better known under this alias.
Oh, the shame of getting this right. Hannah Montana?
That is good for 2 points. No shame with that points, though. All right, Stephanie. Emily Thorne.
Oh, I know this. Revenge. Hold on. Oh, what's her actual name? I know the show. Amanda?
Tara's shaking. The answer I have is Charlotte, but is that...
No, that's not incorrect. Right? No, okay. It's Amanda.
No, that's really wrong.
All right.
Wait, am I right or wrong?
You're right.
You are correct.
Yay!
2 points.
2 points. My apologies. I'm only as good as the data in front of me. All right. Who wants this one?
Me.
Tara.
Melody Pond. Melody Pond.
Oh, River Song.
What?
Thank you, because I edit Jeff's Marathon Diaries of Doctor Who, Dave.
Who are you?
This is how I learn
things. What's happening? All right.
That's how I know.
Sarah.
Yep.
Max Power.
Hint.
The Simpsons. Max Power.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Give
me a Simpsons character.
Okay. Milhouse.
Homer Simpson.
The dog just walked over the cord, so can you plug it in better? Because now everyone is very quiet to me. That cord, my headphone cord. Better, thank you.
That was exciting.
Thanks a lot, Gordon.
Hang on, just let the dog out here. Force of nature. All right, so okay.
Stephanie.
My turn.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Barnaby Jones. Let me tell you about my new best friend. Barnaby Jones. Frisky Dingo. Frisky Dingo is the show.
If she didn't watch our show, she definitely did not watch Frisky Dingo.
Don't watch it. Haven't watched it. Don't know.
Xander Cruz. All right, Tara.
Yep.
The Dragon Slayer.
Yep. Hint.
Survivor.
Oh, I have no idea. Jeff.
Coach or Ben Wade.
Okay.
Yep. Sarah, Bluebird.
Hint.
Alias. And that is the show.
Ooh. Sydney.
That's good for 1 point. Stephanie.
Yep.
Janet Abdul.
Abdul. This one. Hint.
Full House is the show.
Oh, Stephanie?
The answer is DJ Tanner. That's not Stephanie, I assume?
No.
Oh.
I don't know for Full House.
No.
Tara.
Yes.
Deborah Carson.
Hint.
Dawson's Creek.
Deborah Carson.
Deborah Carson.
Joey?
1 point.
Why did you have an alias?
Bringing us into our penultimate score break. For Sarah, Ken Adams.
Hint.
Friends. Now you're on the other side of the equation.
Chandler.
Said with such authority. Joey Tribbiani. Joey Tribbiani.
That's his standard fake when he's picking up ladies. Okay, I have 20. Sarah has 13. Stephanie has 7.
All right, here's your reversey question. Building towards the final question. Stephanie, Gordon Sims. Gordon Sims.
Hint.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Never seen it. Don't know.
Is that Johnny?
No, it's Venus. Mm. Venus Flytrap. All right. Tara.
Yep.
Jerrica Benton.
Jim! Truly nice. Outrageous.
She is truly outrageous. Awesome. Sarah.
Yes.
Armin Tamzarian. Armin Tamzarian.
Hint?
The Simpsons. A famously terrible episode of The Simpsons. People hate it.
That could be anything after season 9. I don't know. Poochie?
That's a pretty good guess.
That is a good guess.
Given what I just said.
Yep.
Principal Skinner. Principal Skinner when they just retconned the hell out of his character.
Okay.
All right. So we are back. We are back to normal ones. And for Stephanie... Anastasia Beaverhausen.
Anastasia.
Hint, please.
Yes, Will and Grace.
Grace.
Karen Walker. Karen Walker.
I had a 50-50 chance.
Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Bentham.
John Locke.
Good for 2 points. Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
the alias is Michael Knight.
What do you bet that I'm not going to get this?
I don't know.
No bet?
I didn't know this.
Michael Long, I believe.
Whoa!
Nice!
Wow.
Good one.
I don't play.
I had no idea. No idea.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. All right, Stephanie.
Is Thomas Magnum his real name?
Charles Carmichael.
Can you say it again?
Yeah. Charles Carmichael.
Hint?
Chuck. I don't know if that was your answer, but
yeah,
it's
that
the
was
right
my
word.
Answer.
Okay. Good for 1 point. To Tara.
Yep.
Janet Snakehole.
Ew.
Janet Snakehole.
Yeah. What is her name? Now I'm going blank. It's the Aubrey Plaza character, and her name is... Has it really been this long? Andy and... Oh my God, I can't believe I can't remember her name! I legitimately can't remember it.
January, February, March.
April!
From Parks and Rec.
Diane all over again!
All right. For Sarah,
yes.
Jim LaFleur. Jim LaFleur.
Hint.
Lost. Jim LaFleur, the alias of this character from Lost. And it's not Ben Linus.
No. Well, it's the Beard. God damn it.
Beard. Beardo.
No,
Beardsley.
It's not Jack. It's the other one with the love triangle that I can't remember his name and I don't care. Who is it?
Sawyer.
It is, in fact, Sawyer. Yes.
But your response is equally valid.
I was like, Alan? I don't even know.
All right. Here's your last question, Stephanie.
Yep.
The Hood.
The Hood.
Yes.
And?
Arrow.
God. Arrow.
That's a good guess. That's Oliver Queen. Oliver Queen.
He is Arrow.
Yeah, he is Arrow.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like Mr. Okay. Arrow to you.
Tara, your last question.
Yeah.
Ovaltine Jenkins.
Hint.
Psych.
Charlie?
Guess what? That's the second Bert and Gus Guster one.
Oh, they're both Gus?
Yep. I think every episode they give themselves aliases.
Very tricky.
All right, the last one here for Sarah. Your alias is Reek. R-E-E-K. Reek.
Hint?
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Oh.
My really least, one of my least favorite storylines.
That's what I thought it was, too.
What did you think?
We thought it was 90210.
I don't know. Is there a character named Reek?
No, there's a character named Rick, but Brenda's pretending to be French, so she calls him Reek.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. All right, so no?
No.
Theon Greyjoy. Greyjoy. All right, let's get the final scores.
Okay. I have 24.
Yes.
Sarah has 15. Stephanie has 8.
All right, so Tara takes it, but are we ready for our shits and giggles question?
Yes.
Yeah.
5 Dave points on the line. First person to shout out.
Holy shit.
First person to shout out the answer gets 5 Dave points. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
The alias is Captain Cook. Captain Cook. Any guesses? I will start to give more information.
Walter White?
You're out of it.
Okay.
The show is Breaking Bad. Sarah or Stephanie?
Captain Cook.
Captain Cook.
Jesse Pinkman?
5 Dave points. Good congratulations.
Job. Thanks.
Tara and Sarah.
Tara.
Tara. Good job, Tara.
All right. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We professed our undying love for The Bachelorette and all the Bachelor franchise stands for. Before going around the dial with stops at The Colbert Report, Sex in the Wild, Fringe, and The Leftovers. Olivia brought us up to date on Face Off, and Tara explained why we are all domer for having been subjected to Chester Mills food supply issues. Stephanie successfully pitched us Felicity's Gimme an O for the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time, bringing her within one victory of the season. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
I can't believe this journey's already over.
Sarah D. Bunting,
more like fantasy sour, am I right?
And Stephanie Green,
I can't believe you made love to me.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Great.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, hi, Mommy.
What kind of blocks do you like to make?
Like making, monsters?
Yeah, what kind of monsters?
No, I want the video.
What video?
No, making sort of two teams.
Oh, like Face Off? You want to talk about Face Off? Yeah. So they have two teams, and then what?
And making monsters.
Yeah.
And making monsters is a lot of fun, but I don't prefer to make a challenge.
Yeah. Why not?
Because I needed a face off.
Oh, okay. So which one was your favorite?
Blocks.
The blocks, yeah. And which one was your least favorite? Which one did you not like?
Disneyland.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for having this interview with me.
She's got a great future as a bullshitter, that one.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.